my quirky sense of humour. My family puts up with it, 24 hours a day. And what I would like to do this morning, just to kick off, is just to give you an overview on who we are, and also what our ministry covers, because we appreciate your prayer support as well. It's the third time that we've been back, and we are so excited. It is a wonderful time to come back and to see all the friendly faces again. And I am actually starting to remember names, so that's a good thing as well. So bear with me if I do misplace your name today for another year. So the Roberts family, all four of us, and we just want to be, surrendered to the Lord, to be used of Him during this short time on this earth. And our focus in ministry is based in Open Door Baptist Church in Menai. So Menai is in the south of Sydney. The pastor there is Pastor Ryan Conlon. And we're involved there in the local church in a preaching role, and also in heading up the children's ministries. And so throughout the week, I work full-time in a job to pay the bills. And then also throughout the week, we're involved in evangelism and the children's ministry. So we have a kids' club, just like One Way Club, called Lighthouse. And that operates on Fridays, catering for the ages of school grades 2 through to 6. So we run the bus around, and they come in, and quite often we don't know how many are going to come. And we have a Bible teaching time and a games time, just very similar to the One Way or the Awana Club style program. It's very evident to us, though, over the years, or over the past sort of 7 or 8 years, that the Lord just didn't want to use this in the local church, but also in the other churches around, to be a blessing as well, particularly in the area of children's ministry. And so we'd had invitations to travel around and preach. But about probably 8 years ago now, I had my first invitation to go and speak at a children's camp. They took a big risk, I guess. I think it went all right because I got invited back again. And from there, the Lord's just used that. And so during annual leave time, we try and cover, say, 2 or 3 camps a year, and greatly consider it a privilege to carry the sword of the Lord into children's camps. And I like to do things a little bit differently. I like to use different types of mediums like PowerPoint to illustrate it and to bring out God's Word in pictures, because we cannot forget that, you know, God's Word is the most exciting word book on this planet. And, you know, we need to treat it like that. And I love to bring out those illustrations for the children. So, children, question for you. Yeah, that's right. You ready? Question for you. Who was at camp last year? Excellent. Okay, who's going to be at camp this year? Okay, great. So no one didn't put their hand up for the second time. So that's fantastic. Okay, great. You can put your hands down. And this week, boys and girls, we are going to have a fantastic time again. In God's Word, going through the themes of knights in faith, or knights of faith. And so we're looking forward to seeing those knights of faith come out of the Word of God. And so thank you. I do appreciate your, and Natalie and I do appreciate your prayer and support as we endeavour to follow the Lord and His leading day by day, and also in the very important area of child evangelism. So that's a little bit of a summary for you. I thought that that last hymn that we spoke, that we just sang, in times like these, really, if we pay attention to the words, should provoke a lot of thoughts from the heart. Because I guess time is running out. But in these times around us, people need to see and need to hear of the certainty of the Saviour. And God has chosen us to carry that message. And so this morning's message, we'll be focusing on using our mouth to speak to the glory of God. And so let's just pray, and then we'll go to the text for today. Let's just bow our heads and ask God's blessing. Lord God, we thank you that you are a wonderful God. You are a faithful God to us. Oh Lord, we're so thankful that your love is not dependent on our love to you. Lord, you have poured out your love to us. It is unconditional. Father God, you've sent your Son to die on the cross, taking the punishment of our sin upon him. Lord, he rose from the dead the third day, conquering, Lord, sin and death, lives today at your right hand, interceding for us. Lord, what a wonderful position we are in this morning if we have trusted Christ as our Saviour. Lord, with that knowledge, we want to bow before your feet and ask that you would teach us. Lord, we humble ourselves before you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts in chapter 8. This morning's message is entitled, The Open Mouth on the Road in the South. Okay, so did you get that one? Okay, if you're writing it down, I won't spell it out for you, but I'll go through it again. The Open Mouth on the Road in the South. From Acts and chapter 8. And so the book of Acts is an action-packed book of the Bible. We see here the start of the New Testament church. We see during preceding chapters accounts like Ananias and Sapphira as the church is being formed, and they sort of start to see the popularity of giving, and they want to go out and give publicly as well, but with the wrong intentions. And we see God see the sin in their heart and expose that. We see the pre-conversion state of the Apostle Paul. He's persecuting the church. He is kicking in doors. He is arresting people, torturing, murdering Christians. And we see the disciples are out and about networking, preaching, teaching, establishing ministries and encouraging the work. What a wonderful time as souls are being saved city by city. And we come across this account here of the Ethiopian eunuch. And no doubt you've read this passage or heard preaching from this before, but I trust that it's an encouragement to us this morning that God's given us a mouth as Christians to open and to use for his glory. And so we see here in Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Let's start there. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So the first thing that we see here is that God has a message for one of his servants. One of his servants that's online, to use the modern talk. One of his servants that's logged in, that is listening to God's voice, that has surrendered his life and that says, Yes, Lord, I want to be used. You have made me for this purpose. And this servant is Philip. And now Philip has been involved in the establishment of churches throughout Samaria. And he, together with Peter and John, have just returned to Jerusalem. And now that those churches have been established and have ministers there. And that we also see from previous verses that they continue to preach and teach on the way back to Jerusalem throughout Samaria. And so here we have one of those occasions that we as Christians, especially if we've been church taught for so many years, go, yep, great, that's what happened. But we really don't get our head around what's really going on here. The angel of the Lord pays a visit to Philip. Okay. Anybody had the angel of the Lord pay them a visit in the last week? No. So during this time, this is an exciting time when God used angels to deliver messages. And now this could have been in the form of a dream or a vision or a personal visit there, but we have the angel of the Lord is delivering this message and Philip is paying attention because he does not see this every day. This is a holy message from a holy God. And so we know that when God is the author of the message is vitally important. And that God knows what he's doing. He's organising something here. And he's organising something very specific. So we see here the first point is the message. The message. The message is very specific. He says, go from one place and go to another. God doesn't leave any interpretation in between. You need to go and do this, Philip. Philip, God is directing your path. Just the same way as he directs our paths. Not through the angel of the Lord. In this case with Philip, it was the angel of the Lord giving the directions. And so what is that message? It's first of all, get up. Leave this town, go to the south road, to a deserted road, to a road where there isn't much at all. It's in the desert. And now Philip, with this message, with this detail, all it's telling him is to get up and go to that place. That's it. That's the message. He faces choices, just like we face choices when God puts things on our heart or gives us directions. And so Philip perhaps started to think about the geographics of where the Lord is telling him to go. It doesn't make logical sense to leave an area that is full of people that we're ministering in and to just go to a seemingly random place where there are no people. Philip has been taught of the Lord. Philip has been gifted of the Lord to minister to people. And God wants him to go to a place where there aren't any people. And so Philip, quite rightly in his own mind, could have started breaking down this message thinking, Lord, this does not make logical sense. I think I might need to question the message. There are no towns there. This is a road from Jerusalem to Gaza. Surely, God, if you had the correct message for me, it would be to go to a place that's packed full of people. But no. The message is specific. Go to a place where there are no people living. But see, there is great importance because the message is not faltered. God is giving Philip the exact amount of information that he needs to serve him on that day, for that moment, to simply obey. But the importance is also not just the message, but the messenger, the source of the message. And so we come to that second point, which is the messenger. The message is from God. It's from the King. It's from the Messiah. And that is all the validity that Philip needs to know. This is from the boss. The details of the message can't be questioned because God knows exactly what he's doing. God never gives instructions without a purpose. We know that the psalmist said in Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to those that trust in him. The word of the Lord is never questioned because God has a purpose. Remember the song from Ron Hamilton, God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servants or moulding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though his testing seems long in darkness. He giveth a song, what does it say? Rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the way of each path that I take. For when I'm tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. God is not making a mistake with this message to Philip. The timing is also perfect. Why is the timing perfect? Because, folks, the messenger is perfect. The source of the message is perfect. And so everything there is about the detail, you're probably going, preacher, what are you going on about this so much about the detail? We're getting there. The detail's perfect. The delivery's perfect. The timing's perfect. So what does God expect? Obedience. Just do it. God never sends us down garden paths. God never sends us off for no apparent reason. God has a purpose. Arise and get up now, Philip, and go. And so this is where I had a little bit of difficulty because I tried to start all my points with M to just be a good preacher. I couldn't find a word that meant response with M, so I called it the response. And so what's Philip's response? Okay, so we've already talked about the possible. Now look, place yourself there, right? You've got the message. You've got this message that just get up and go, right? There's nothing else. You, just humanly, perhaps would have had questions in your mind. I wonder, where am I going? What's down there? What's going to happen along the way? What is the purpose? And so what is Philip's response? He doesn't say why. He doesn't say, Lord, let's just have a few more details on the plan first, Lord. And then I'll go. Now, Lord, I can see the point here. I'm here. I can see where you want me to go there. But there's like this whopping gap in between. And then there's a huge gap after that dot. Fill those points in, Lord. And then I will obey. No. Lord, just if you could just send me the objectives. Send the angel back. And answer some questions. Then let me peruse the mission plan. Let me digest it a little bit, chew it over, so I can be prepared along the way for what you would have. No go. And so Philip leaves with the knowledge that God is right, and that is the peace that is in his heart, knowing that God is not sending him off to destruction. God is not sending him off to a mystery place without a purpose. God's right. Folks, this is obedience, and obedience by faith. By faith. Many a time I find myself praying, Lord, help my unbelief. Oh Lord, if only I would just trust you with the specific instructions that you're giving me, to give me the faith to take those steps without knowing the full picture. Help my unbelief. I think we struggle with this, if we're truly honest, with many areas of our lives. You know, we live in an instant age where we want instant answers and instant solutions, instant counselling. We almost want a multiple choice option to counselling now. We just choose the best option, the answer that suits us. You know, we struggle when God wants us to take a step. We struggle when God wants us to go to another person. We struggle when God wants us to give something up, and yet he hasn't revealed the why. He wants us to go and buy something to meet someone else's need. He wants us to go to a neighbour, the one right next door, 10 metres away from us, that lives there every single day, that perhaps we've never mentioned the name of the Lord to. Brethren, God wants, God expects, and God wants to bless us when we simply obey his voice. And so verse 27 tells us that he arose. Okay, action word. He arose and went. He obeyed. Lights, camera, and action. Away he went. Now in the same area, in the same city, there was somebody else that God also had a plan for. And his name, of course, was Mr. Ethiopian eunuch. And he was leaving Jerusalem around about the same time, but a little bit ahead of Philip. See the timing? You see, there's that other side, right, that God can see and that God is organising. He doesn't reveal that to Philip, but God can see the picture. And he's using Philip as his instrument, as his channel. And so we do know some things about this Ethiopian eunuch. He, of course, was a VIP, very important person. He was from the kingdom of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. And this man had great authority. As a matter of fact, he's the treasurer. He's looking after the bank accounts of the queen. Now, we'll talk a little bit later about what he's doing in Jerusalem, away from his country afar. But I want to just make this point very quickly. We know that 1 Corinthians 1:26 through to 31 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise are men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:26 through to 31. Read that a little bit later on. There is so much meat there, but these are the things that I want to draw out. You see, God's objective of his dealings with us is to give him the glory. And that's why so many times he will choose unorthodox methods. He will choose unusual ways. He will choose unusual people. Got a few smiles. No, not the person next to you. He will choose unusual people. And God doesn't make mistakes. God comes and knocks on your heart and says, I want to use you here. He's not making a mistake. We see it time and time again in the scriptures, don't we? We see these men turn around, the Lord's made a mistake. Surely it's not me. Yes, it's you. Oh no, would you use someone else? No, I'm not going to use someone else. I'm going to look at Moses. Leading the children of Israel out of captivity. Lord, and he went through his classic three excuses. We go there first. If we're honest, we go there first with the Lord, with the excuses. He wants the glory. He just wants us to obey. But he will use us to bring about the glory. So considering that God uses the foolish and the weak things of this world often, Matthew Henry wrote that not many mighty, not many noble are called, but some are. But some are. Enter Ethiopian eunuch. So next we come to, we're back on the M's now, the mission. Okay. So we've got a good response. We've got an obedient response. We've got the Ethiopian eunuch leading Jerusalem with his caravan. It's not the holidaying caravan type. We'll talk about his transportation methods in just a moment. But now we come to the mission. And this man with his might and his power and his wealth under Candace, Candace most likely took over from Sheba, queen of the south. The Ethiopians were not much of a respected people amongst the Jews, mind you. They were known for their warrior behaviour and their fierce nature. And so what is this man doing in Jerusalem? The treasurer of a queen of the nation that the Jews don't like. What's he doing in Jerusalem? Well, I believe that he had a great interest in Jewish thing. I believe that he was actually a Jewish convert. Now, that does not mean that he was saved. He was not a child of God yet. But I believe that this man definitely had an interest in God's word. And he's travelled all the way the 2,400 kilometres to get to Jerusalem to sit and to be taught. And so Mr. Eunuch was a converted Jew. He did fear God. He did believe in God. He had not come to the point where he could see his own sinfulness and God's solution for that sin being Christ, and his need to repent of his sin and to trust in Jesus. And so at the beginning of 27, we see that he rose and went, and behold, the man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had all the charge of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for worship. Verse 28, he was returning, and he was sitting in his chariot. And in his chariot, he had the book of Isaiah. And he's just casually reading the book of Isaiah on the way back to his homeland. And so Philip is travelling now on the same road, going to that place where no one lives, the deserted place. But Philip is going to come across this caravan, this group of people travelling. You see, Mr. Eunuch would have had a group of people around him as servants. He would have had his bodyguards. It would have been a very interesting sight if you were train spotting or caravan spotting on the side of the road at that time. And Philip is now leaving and he's on his way and he's got nothing with him. He's just going, being under the influence of the Spirit of the Lord, and he's just going along this road and he sees perhaps up ahead some dust. And maybe in his mind he starts to think, he still doesn't know yet, right? He still doesn't know what he's doing. And he's just walking. And he's thinking, well, maybe that, are they coming to me? Maybe there's a group of people coming to me. Maybe there's going to be a gathering of people out here for some preaching. And as he gets closer and closer and starts to make out the figures, and there's a group of people travelling together. And there's some guys carrying some spears. Okay. All right then. And there's some people with some strange costumes on from a country that I don't think we particularly like. And there's this guy that's being carried along on a chariot. So let's get this picture right of a chariot. What comes to mind when I say the word chariot? So, yep, you see Ben-Hur type chariot, right? So you've got the horses out the front. You've got the capsule. You've got the two big wheels. You've got the guy standing in the back with the whip, and that's the classic scene, isn't it? Right? Okay. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to modify this chariot. So spin the chariot sideways. We've got the horses over here. We've got chariot. We've got wheels. Take horses off. Okay. Take wheels off. Replace horses and wheels with four men. Poles are now coming out of that chariot, and it's now got like a square thing with a seat on top. Okay. We did that really quickly. Okay, we should be in the modification business. And now we see the Ethiopian eunuch being carried along by his servants, and he's up and he's got the view, and perhaps there's even someone beside him with his long, big palm fan keeping him nice and cool, because, they don't want to upset the master. And he's the VIP. Now, Philip may have seen him, and he's seen this entourage, but he doesn't know yet that he's to go up and engage this entourage. But we do know that he's in the right area at the right time. Why? Because the message was right, it was the perfect time, and Philip obeyed. It's coming together under the hand of the Lord. And so the Spirit of the Lord says something to Philip. So let's go back over here to our text in Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. And then the Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip, go near and join thyself unto this chariot. And Philip's like, that one? No. That one? No, that one, Philip. Okay. Again, God is very specific. Philip, here's the next installment of the instruction. You're here. If Philip had still been back in Jerusalem, he wouldn't have known which caravan or which chariot to go and engage, but he's right there. Go over there and have a chat. Go and engage. And so Philip still does not know what he's going to say. Philip still does not know what he's going to encounter. Remember, there's persecution going on. Perhaps in Philip's mind, this is a potential arrest or a potential Philip nap to take him off to another land. He doesn't know. And so he does that. And so I want you to imagine this, there's the eunuch and he's being carried along, and here's Philip, and he's approaching this entourage. And so the servants that are around the entourage see this guy coming. And he's not messing around, he's catching up to him. And they're thinking, who is this guy? And he's up, and there's the eunuch, and he's up at the top there, and he's reading a scroll up here. And there's Philip. He's catching up. And you can see him up there now, and he's thinking, Lord, what do I do now? Okay, I'm here. He's still reading his scroll. What am I going to do now? All right, let's have a look. Verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said, so picture that again. He runs up, past the guys at the back. He's, get out of the way, turn the air conditioning off for a second. Walks up. He's kind of like catching pace now with this chariot. He's up there and he says, do you know what you're reading, mate? Do you understand what you're reading? And now for the response. Now, he could have been crash tackled to the ground by security behind him. He could have. He could have feared the guards that were there. He could have feared the guy with the huge air conditioner on the pole. He could have feared the dark skin and the foreign-looking man, the perhaps aggressive-looking, impressive, colourful-looking man up there. Like, how often do we do that? We form opinions in our own mind of people that we've never spoken to before. We form opinions in our own mind of people that God wants us to go and minister to, and then finally when we obey and we break through, it wasn't that bad. Well, the eunuch responds. because the eunuch is searching. He didn't find what he was looking for in Jerusalem. He didn't find hope in the law. All he found was more rules. And potentially, perhaps the teachers in Jerusalem were even covering this passage and he was still reading over it saying, I don't get it. Who is this man? What was he reading? Let's have a look. And he said, and this is the eunuch's response, How can I understand except some man should guide me? And right there, the light bulbs come on in Philip's head. Bang! It was like spotlights everywhere in his life. And he says, I know what I'm here for. How do I understand except someone would explain to me? If someone should teach me? And that person needs to be someone who understands the scriptures, understands God, is part of God's family. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. That was good news for Philip. He's been on his feet for a while. So this must have been one of those two-seater chariots. He obviously had the gear model. And so he's obviously had the spare room up there. And so he gets up. Imagine the guys that are carrying this thing. Mate, good thing you didn't have breakfast, right? And so this guy claimed, but no, maybe he stopped and they lowered it down and he came and he got on board the chariot and back up he went. And it's a great view from up here, Mr. Eunuch. This is fantastic, But he wasn't there for the chit-chat. He was there to teach him about the Word of God. And so he does so. And he gets on and the eunuch invites him on and he says in verse 31, come up and sit with me. And the place of the scripture in verse 32, which he read, was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, he was reading, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about someone else? I need to know who this man is. It's a great mystery in my mind. The Spirit of the Lord's working on his heart. God's working on his heart. God's been working on his heart for a while. There's a mystery there. He needs to know the answer. Who is this Saviour? Who is this great one who suffered this at the hands of men? Was it the prophet? No. Who was it? Philip knows the answer. Because Philip knows the Saviour. Oh, Philip can open up his own heart and as the Spirit leads him can speak boldly because he has exactly what this man needs. This man needs to be saved. This man needs to be introduced to the mystery character behind this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to see God's hand at work from our point of view looking back. What a wonderful thing it is to see God join the dots and we see God's power working. Perhaps we can go back and we can think, well, what happens if Philip had said no? Well, would have missed out on the blessing, would have missed out on that. We would have missed out on this passage. But he's there and he explains it. And Philip opened his mouth in verse 35. So this is where we get the open mouth on the road in the south. Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same scripture and divided it and taught it. And what did he preach unto him? Brethren, say it with me. What did he preach? The last word in verse 35, he preached Jesus. He didn't go and start sharing about some personal stories in his life. He didn't go off and start talking about this book that he read. He didn't go off and start talking about, well, you know what? We're getting this great meeting in a few weeks' time. Why don't you come along to that? He preached Jesus. He did it there and then. man had the need. He saw the need. And Philip, unprompted, unscripted, right there in Isaiah 53, preached to him the man, the Saviour. So the next point is the mouth, and we're fast coming to a close. The one that he had not heard of. He spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question's got to be asked, how come the eunuch didn't hear of this in Jerusalem? Well, false teaching. He didn't hear the disciples, obviously. But the Lord also had perfect timing in mind. Philip was the one to share with him the glorious gospel at this particular moment. You see, the teachers in the synagogues had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And they clung to the law, a religion of self-righteousness. They failed to teach the eunuch of Christ, as they themselves were not believers. See, Philip took action. He opened up his mouth. He gave the message that God gave him then and there. And the eunuch also knew. He had knowledge here, but he had knowledge of baptism. And so perhaps he'd even seen baptism. I don't know, perhaps he even believed that baptism was right. But he'd never been convicted and led to be baptized. Because he couldn't do what the early Christians did. That was stand up in front of everybody in the face of persecution and say, I'm one of Christ now. And here's my symbol, being buried and rising again in Christ. That symbol of baptism, a testimony of the decision that they'd made in their hearts. And so he says to Philip right then and there, after Philip was expounding the word of God to him, he says, verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said to him, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What's stopping me from being baptized? Go, Philip. Here it is. Here's the answer. Philip said in verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Praise the Lord. This man believes. This man's found what he's been looking for. He found the Lord Jesus Christ. He found the Son of Man. He found the way, the truth, and the life. The conversion occurred right then and there in that double-seated chariot, up high. Perhaps the servants were also listening. We don't know. Perhaps the ministry of the preaching of the word started to spread around and people were talking about, so who is this man, Christ Jesus? Perhaps there were many other questions. Perhaps other men came to know Christ as well. We never know who's listening. That's why we ought to speak the truth. And so verse 38, they both went down into the water and everybody was watching. Okay, so bear with me here again. This is a caravan. They've gone to Jerusalem. They've come back and they've stopped and they're getting in the water. Perhaps some of his advisors were there. Mr. Eunuch, what are you doing? Now's not the time to be dunking or hopping in the water. It's like, no, I believe that Jesus is my Saviour. And I want to make public testimony of that now in front of all of you. And so Philip and the eunuch go down into the water. Philip doesn't complain and say, I've got to go off and get my baptism outfit. He's right then and there. He's being used of the Lord. And they go into the water and he's baptized. Verse 38, he commanded the chariot stand still. And when they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. What a testimony in front of that whole caravan. What a great example and a light to them of the gospel of Christ. Well, praise God for the effect of the gospel in the life of this man. He took the gospel back to Ethiopia with him. He took the light to a distant land. His soul is redeemed. And I want you to think about this. If you're saved this morning and you know that you are, in future, you will be a resident of heaven and you're going to meet him. Mr. Eunuch, what questions would you have for him? What questions would you be asking the faithful men of the word? I tell you what one of the questions in my mind would be if I'm asking the eunuch, what was it like watching Philip disappear in front of you? That's the next one. This is called the movement. At the end of the baptismal service, I don't think it finished with follow, I will follow Jesus, or anything like that, and they didn't have a big white towel and that sort of thing. You know, this is happening right then and there. Watch what happens here in the next verse. Verse 39, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. So again, the verse doesn't leave us anything to imagine, right? It doesn't stop there where it says the Lord caught away Philip. It actually says the eunuch who's right next to him doesn't see him anymore. And it's not like hide and seek. Where'd Philip go? Is he still in the water? Did he hide behind the bushes? He watched him go. Whoosh! I'll tell you about the action here. The phrase he caught away by the Spirit of the Lord is the word harpazo, or however you want to say it, okay? Now, that word means to seize, to carry off by force, right? He was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord. That must have been an interesting experience. One moment you're ministering here, the next minute, you're gone. Whoosh! That same word is used in this verse, in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Folks, if you have a heartbeat and the Lord returns, you're going to be caught up the same way. That same action word, whoosh, gone, and people will see it. John 10:28, now this is, I love this verse in the context it brings in here, because now this adds security to you as a child of God. Now listen to this, the same word, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No one can whoosh you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, if you are here this morning, and just like this eunuch, you've had that moment in your life where you've said yes to God and no to self and no to sin, and you said, no, I can see that I'm a sinner, I need to repent and trust Christ as my Saviour. Your name is written in the book of life, and no one can ever take you away from the Father. But Philip was certainly taken away from the eunuch. So where did he go? He went 40 kilometres away, faster than light speed. He went to another town, Azotus, near the Mediterranean Sea. What a journey. Finds himself suddenly in another city there for the next mission. Now, folks, I can't guarantee that God is going to harpazo you here on earth. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think you're going to find yourself suddenly at the end of the service instantly transported to the next destination. But you can look forward to that huge transportation one day to be with the Lord, amen? Because he's coming. In times like these, people need you to use your mouth. You know, Philip wasn't perfect. He listened and obeyed God. He was used to rescue a soul for eternity's sake. And God wants to use you the same way. The days are short. The time is going by. And there are souls that need to hear from your mouth. Let me close with this illustration. If you're an intense music buff, perhaps you would know this man, Fritz Kreisler, 1875 to 1962, world famous violinist, earned a fortune with his concerts and his compositions, and he generously gave away most of it, so that when he discovered an exquisite violin in one of his trips, he was not able to buy it. Later on, having raised enough money to meet the asking price of this extremely rare violin, he returned to the seller, hoping to purchase this beautiful, exquisite instrument. But to his great dismay, it had been sold to a collector. Kreisler made his way to the new owner's home and offered to buy the violin right then and there on the doorstep. The collector said it had become now one of his prized possessions, and he would not sell it. So disappointed, Chrysler was about to leave when he had an idea. He said, Could I play the instrument once more before it's consigned to silence forever? And permission was granted, and the great virtuoso filled the room with such heart-moving music that the collector's emotions were deeply stirred. He said, I have no right to keep this violin to myself. It's yours, Mr. Chrysler. Take it to the world and let the people hear it. Brethren, we have no right to keep our mouth, our gifts, our lives to ourselves. Now is the time to step out and listen to the voice of God. There are many fearful souls that need to hear from your mouth, your neighbours, the people in your streets, the children that you have ministry with, perhaps your family. Brethren, step out and obey the voice of the Lord, because he will provide the rest. Allow God to bless your life abundantly as you see the power of the gospel, not only bringing forth rejoicing in your life, but in the life of others. Let's use our mouth for God's glory. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for this great example of a man using his mouth for your glory and simply being obedient. And Lord God, help us to be channels for the glorious message of the gospel. Oh Lord, in these final times, Lord, people need to not only hear the gospel, they need to see it in our lives. Oh Lord, make us genuine servants for you, I pray, not seeking our own, but seeking to glorify our Father. Lord, strengthen us and help our unbelief, Lord, we ask. We thank you that you are mighty. We thank you that you are grand. And Lord, we just can't understand you. You're just too awesome for us. But Lord, I pray that you would leave this message in our hearts, that we would go our way. And Lord, being listening for your voice, listening for how we ought to obey you, listening how we can use our mouth for your glory. Oh Lord, we give you the praise and the glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.